Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Edward, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good, Ron. Thank you.
You made it through another training camp. This was, what, your 61st up there, it seems like?
Well, you're not that far off, Ron.
You made it through another one, Ed. Overall, and I mean, obviously, and we'll touch briefly on Daryl Drake's passing, the overwhelming story up there by far. And you reported yesterday that he actually went to the hospital Saturday night. Can you pick up the story from there?
Yeah, that makes it sadder, Ron, that he recognized he was having chest pains and he recognized there was something wrong, or, you know, wanted to have them checked out anyway. So they took him up to Latrobe Hospital up there, and they ran some tests, and there were no abnormalities. And now I didn't write this in that story, but I found out later they wanted to give him a stress test, and he didn't want to take that. He said, I'm fine. I'm just going to go back to the dorm. I got, you know, meetings and stuff. And he went through that.
They also wanted to keep him overnight, didn't they, for observation?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. They wanted to keep him overnight for observation. He did not want to do that. And I'm told when they do that, you know, they hook him up to a monitor, and they have other patients hooked up to monitors too. And there's a nurse that keeps constant watch on those monitors to see if anything goes wrong. So if something had happened, they would have at least had a chance, it would seem, to do something about it.
It's just, Ed, as you said, so sad. And, you know, I think everybody has talked about Daryl Drake as being a teacher and life lessons and stuff. Maybe this last lesson will be good for a lot of people, that you just don't ignore anything. You know, nobody wants to be inconvenienced, you know. How many times have you or I or something, maybe I should get this checked out, but I don't want to go sit in the emergency room? Or it just, you never know, do you? You absolutely never know.
No, and, you know, you think you have other duties, you know, that you have to get to. Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I've talked to people who said they did the same thing.
Absolutely.
They went to the hospital, you know, were checked out. They said, you know, well, how about we just keep you here for observation or run a stress test? And they say no. And the people, obviously, I talked to were fine. But this is one case that didn't happen that way.
Yeah, and I the Ryan Switzer interview yesterday was so powerful. And, you know, he broke down a couple times. And I thought the Mike Tomlin Tuesday interview was very powerful too. I don't know, Ed, I can quibble with a lot of stuff that Mike Tomlin does, game management, clock management, challenges, but I truly think his strength is dealing with people, and I think he's the perfect guy to lead the Steelers through this. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm not saying there aren't others who could do it, Ron, but Mike Tomlin's the coach, and I think he will appropriately guide them through this, you know, difficult time. It's still tough for a lot of them, you know. Usually at the end of training camp, they hoot and holler, and it was none of that at the end of practice yesterday.
Yeah, and I know they took off Sunday, Monday, and then practiced Tuesday, and with the weather and very lackluster, but they said everything picked up on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, life goes on without all of us, Ed. I mean, and I think that's a message Tomlin has to deliver. You got to find a way to be a professional and get ready for the season.
Yeah, and, you know, Ron, I mean, I wrote some stuff, and I know you wrote about this too, when that baseball player died, about Randy Frisch, the rookie who was killed on Route 30 coming back from a preseason game to training camp in 77, and then Art Rooney dying, not at training camp, but while they were in training camp 2 days before they had to go to New Orleans to play a preseason game, you know. Others have dealt with stuff like that, and you don't have a choice, Ron. You just have to deal with it and move on, because they're not going to cancel the season.
Well, yeah, no, they never do that, that's for sure. While we are on the hospitals, how about Ola Dainey? That video, or not the video, the picture he sent out in a hospital bed. Ed, have you heard anything more about that? And if he's going to be out for a while, I didn't like their depth at outside linebacker coming into the season, going into camp. If he's going to be out for a while, I don't think it's good news by any stretch.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it, Ron. I'm off today, so but I did see the picture. I tried to look closely. It looked like maybe it's something with his left arm.
That's what I thought I saw, too.
Yeah.
You hope it's not like a torn bicep or something like that, you know.
If it's something torn, Ron,
he'll be out all year.
He'll be back soon.
Yeah.
He won't be back soon. You can put him on injured reserve, and you can bring him back later in the season, but it's not – you know, it's usually about halfway. I can't remember the exact days now. About 10 weeks, 9 or 10 weeks into the season or something like that. So he would be out for a while, and they don't have, you know, we've all written and talked about how little depth they have at outside linebacker.
That's what I mean. You got the starters in Watt and Dupree and then what, Chickalo, and that's it pretty much?
That's all they had on the roster last year until they put Adeniyi on late. Real late in the year. I think he got in one game. And I've never seen so few outside linebackers on a roster. You know, I mean, he may only dress three for some games, but they only had three in a roster. I don't see anybody else there, Ron. I really don't.
Ed, what are you looking for tomorrow night? What are you going to be watching the most? The quarterback situation?
Yeah, the obvious. And I think Rudolph is going to win. For many reasons, Ron. They have to find out about him. And you don't do that when he's a third string quarterback. You drafted him, had a first round grade on him, drafted him in the third round after you had drafted Dobbs the year before in the fourth. So I don't know what they would benefit having him third string and Dobbs second again. I mean, Dobbs got the experience last year being number two, and now you put Rudolph there, and Rudolph is actually, I think, performed a little better than Dobbs everywhere. So it's not something where you're just, you know, it's putting them ahead because for performance as well. You know,
it's, let me say it three times. It's early. It's early. It's early. But I hear good things about this Devlin, the Hodges kid, the Duck Dynasty guy. I don't see a place for him, Ed. Do you?
I don't see a place for him in the NFL, Ron.
Despite all the rave reviews he's been getting?
Who's going to sign him? I mean, he's getting rave reviews because he's a little guy. He's a good story. Kim's from Samford, undrafted. Not only undrafted, Ron, he made the – nobody signed him. The Steelers invited him to a tryout in their rookie camp and then signed him after that. And I'm not putting him down. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's done everything he can do. But I don't know that he can do enough. Certainly not to make this team. And a lot of other teams only carry two quarterbacks. I don't see them signing him. His next stop could be the XFL.
Oh, join Landry Jones.
Well, what did we think of Landry Jones last year? We thought Josh Dobbs was going to get cut, and there's Landry Jones, and they'll go, oh, he'll wind up somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, he did wind up somewhere for a while, right? Didn't he?
Not very long.
Not very long. They brought him to Oakland for a little
while. Jacksonville.
They brought him to Oakland this summer for a while, and I guess maybe to ease the transition to Mr. Big Chest, but he got obviously decided to keep Nate Peterman over him with the Raiders.
He was with Jacksonville for a game last year, too, I think.
Yeah, he was. Our, my guest is Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider here at 93.7 The Fan. Ed, what about the running backs? I've heard mixed reviews about Benny Snell, which is, I was hoping to hear better reviews. Your thoughts on what you've seen from him so far? And after James Conner, obviously Jalen Samuels has had the one big game against New England, but he strikes me as being more of a receiver than a running back.
Well, yeah, but he did have those yards against New England last year.
That's what I'm saying. He had a big game, no doubt.
Right. He is a good receiver. That's all he did at North Carolina. So there was questions about his running ability and especially his blitz pickups and stuff as he came here. But I think he did okay, and I think he's
he can be a number two running back here. I thought Benny Snell might challenge him for that, but Benny Snell is being challenged by Trey Edmonds, yeah. Terrell Edmonds' brother. You know, that kid looked good. He runs hard. I think they're a little disappointed so far in what they've seen from Benny Snell. Not that he can't, you know, regroup, and there's still three more preseason games, which means three more weeks of practice before that first game. Actually, two more weeks before they have to cut. And I don't think they'll cut him, but let's remember, he wasn't a high draft pick either. He was a fifth rounder.
Ed, how about defensively? What's going to happen at inside linebacker? Are they going to be as Barron and Bush going to start? Where does Vince Williams fit into all this mix? Are they all three going to play a lot? How do you see that playing out?
I think the latter. I think all three will play a lot, Ron. You know, Vince, I think you'll see on running downs, and Barron more on passing downs. I think there's going to be a lot of mix and matches there, although Bush, I believe, will be on the field. He'll be the guy on the field all the time. Ryan Shazier, like, you know, in that sense, where he doesn't come off the field. And so the other two will mix and match. They're so much better at that position this year than they were last year.
Mike Tomlin blew me away the other day when he mentioned Bush after one exhibition game in the same sentence with Shazier. I thought that was so out of character for Mike, because usually he doesn't want to credit these rookies, even number ones that they traded up to get. I thought it was a little bit surprising when he said he reminded him of Ryan Shazier's first game.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, that's because Ryan had a big first game. I think 9 tackles and an interception, and Bush had 10 tackles the other day and 7 solos of those in one half a play. So, but yeah, it's unusual for Mike to do that. But you know, who knows? And it's not unusual for Mike. You know, people point out he doesn't like to start rookies, and that's not necessarily the case. Pouncey started, DeCastro started, and you know, for a long time, their defensive players had their picks had nowhere to go because there were so many good players in front of them that they had to wait a year or two. And even Troy Polamalu is a good example of that. Now, there was an obvious opening at inside linebacker. They moved up to get him, and this kid's going to start.
How about the secondary, Ed? Cam Sutton seems to have been having a great camp so far. Nelson, I don't know how much we've seen of him yet. Do you feel better about the cornerback situation? Obviously better than Burns and Sensabaugh last year, I would think.
Yeah, although we didn't know Artie Burns was going to take such a nosedive, I don't think, at this time last year. And then he went out and just laid eggs all over the place. And I guess you could say he might be in danger of losing his roster spot. I don't know that I see that happening, but he hasn't done anything to reclaim his status as a starter, that's for sure. So, yeah, Sutton's looked good. You know, Nelson, I think, has been up and down. He flashes here and there. I don't know that I've seen him do anything wrong. And there's, you know, Hayden. So I think they're in better shape there. At strong safety, because Edmonds has and they say they don't. Keith Butler told me they don't differentiate between strong and free because they just don't want to do that, and they mix them around. But basically, Edmonds is a strong safety playing closer to the line. That's how he's built. His second season should be much better, and he didn't have a bad first season. In fact, the second half of his first season was pretty good. So with the addition of Nelson and Sutton coming on and Hayden back, and Sean Davis, you know, playing his second season at free safety, I think they'll be better in the secondary. I'm not ready to, you know, say they're going to be, you know, what we saw in the 70s here, but I think they'll be better.
A lot of talk early about Hayden getting the contract extension. Haven't heard much lately. Haven't heard anything about Sean Davis. Any news? Are you still expecting Hayden to get it done before opening day?
I've never said that, Ron. Others have. I'm skeptical because he's going to be 31 next year. And he's been paid high throughout his career. Is he going to take a much lower pay? Or are the Steelers going to pay that? And I don't know that I see the Steelers paying him like a top corner because he's going to be 31 next year. You know, they have him now. Next year he'll be 31. And if you look at even guys like Darrell Revis.
Oh, it can drop off in a hurry, huh?
32. He 32. He played at 32, but he wasn't the same. And you look at the history of corners and their ages, it's not a good one when they start hitting their 30s.
Boswell going to be the kicker?
Oh, yeah, I think, Ron, unless he goes just way south from here, he's been really good in training camp. You saw him in the game, booming foot. He's always had it, but, I mean, it seems to be no lack of confidence on his part this year. I really think, and I heard you talking earlier on about that 48-yard field goal
against New England. I thought it turned. Maybe that's what turned it around for him. Who knows?
Well, he certainly has kicked well since then. And you mentioned New Orleans, and he was 3 for 3 down there.
I think two for two or 3 for 3, and then he missed the Cincinnati game at the end.
One was a clutch kick that I remember in New Orleans. I think he'll be the guy. Yeah.
Ed, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Mr. Big Chest. Very much in the news again. I guess he ran patterns. It worked out before the game last night and it looked pretty good. And Gruden, you know, must have breathed a sigh of relief, saying he's encouraged, he's going to practice soon. The drama just keeps following him, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you just wait for the next thing now, you know, with him. I know one thing, and I know you wrote this, Ed, there's a lot of relief, I think, on the Steelers that's going on out there and not here. You know, he was a great receiver for them, but I think he still has a lot to prove now, not to prove that he has been a great receiver, but that he can still be one with a quarterback that is not headed for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I read Carr's quotes. Oh, we're glad to have him back. He's our brother. We love him, this and that. I've worked closely with him. Let's see how long it lasts when Carr bounces about 3 passes to him or doesn't even look at him on occasion. Let's see if there's still love and brotherhood abounding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Ron, there's for Pittsburgh fans, I think there's more interest. Not more interest than the Steelers, but there's some additional interest in other places, Oakland and the New York Jets, to name two of them, you know, this year, just to see how those things unfold.
Ed, as always, have a great weekend. We'll look forward to your coverage from tomorrow night's game, and I'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you Saturday night. Ron.
All right. The Hall of Famer, Ed Bouchette. Always fun talking to him. We'll talk about.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.